Hey everybody, it's Sunny. Just as a heads up, this episode came out a few weeks back. Ninja Turtles. It's done pretty well at the box office. You know, it's hanging around there. People still watching it. And it's entertaining enough. The episode is a good episode, fun episode. We had a bonus about like kind of the origins of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the comic book, the cartoons, you know, how we all got into it, which is very interesting, including some details about, you know, the potential prices of first edition number ones of the original comic. Not many of those made. We did a little bit of Googling. We did some Googling to research it. Anyway, it's fun. So go to Patreon, go to the Patreon, go to subbeacon.com, sign up. You'll easily find us, listen to those episodes, and enjoy this one.
This is insane. Turtle, mutant, karate teens. I want to know everything about you.
Our dad is definitely not a giant rat.
That makes me feel like he's a rat.
Welcome to the Subbeacon Podcast. I'm your co-host, Mike Warren. Joining me, as always, are my two co-hosts, those heroes in a half shell, Jonathan V. Last and Sonny Bunch. You can join us at subbeacon.com, where you can become a patron, listen to full episodes on Fridays, get those bonus episodes we make sometimes exclusively at subbeacon.com. You can comment, join in the conversation with your fellow Subbeacon heads. Those polls that we do for bonus episode drafts, they're always lively and fun, and you can't vote in them. You certainly can't comment on them unless you are a patron at subbeacon.com. Check us out there. Later in the episode, we're going to be talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. They fit two mutants into that
title. Too many mutants.
Lots of mutants. We'll be talking about that later in the show, but first, we've got to talk about what's going on with everybody. JVL, let's start with you. What's happening in your world?
You know, like Willis Reed coming to game 7 of the finals on what was supposed to be a broken leg and ripping off the warm-up pants. That's what I'm doing, because I had a finger up my asshole just a few hours ago. I went and I did my colonoscopy. Old person colonoscopy.
Oh, that's what you were doing. Got it. Okay. Just.
And I, still a little woozy from the anesthesia. You find yourself thinking so many things, because I'm like sleep deprived on top of the anesthesia, because I barely slept last night, because you gotta take this unbelievably disgusting stuff, which just makes you live on the toilet for like 20 hours. The image, do you remember in like, I don't really see this anymore, but you know, in night movies about the 1970s, when you would see inner city neighborhoods where it was really, really hot in the summer, somebody would come out to a fire hydrant and like crank it a little bit open so it sprayed water and became a sprinkler for the kid. That's what it's like.
You drink this substance.
Stuff. And I got to the, you know, I was at the surgical center at 6 a.m. and you're thinking like, you know, hey, you want to be a good sport, but you also don't want to do all of the jokes that they hear 15 times a day, right? I do not want to be the first guy in the morning to do Moon River, or you're going to use the whole fist, doc, right? I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to say,
you think
rectum, I damn near killed him. I don't want to do any of that material.
Hack stuff. You don't want to do that.
I don't want to do hack stuff, Kenny Banya stuff. And instead, it's the nurse who lays one on me that I was not expecting. So I get myself, I'm signed in, I'm in my gurney,
sure.
I'm doing all the intake stuff. I'm in my little
speak.
Gown without any dignity. And she's going through the procedure with me, and she says, I said, so am I going to be like, you know, like Twilight, or am I going to be all the way out? She goes, oh, you'll be all the way out. We're giving you propanol. That's what killed Michael Jackson.
Anesthesia humor. I like it.
She knew you had a sense of humor.
That's like something you'd hear on Nip Tuck, the Ryan Murphy show.
And I did think to myself, too soon? Is it too soon for Michael Jackson death humor?
He's been dead for a long time. It's okay.
So she said, you know, of course, he did not have a board-certified anesthesiologist riding shotgun on him. He was just doing it himself. You're going to be just fine. Thank you, Anne. Anne, I really appreciate that.
And the nurse. So yeah, that's funny. That's hilarious. I mean, it's good to hear jokes right before you go
so
under.
I get rolled into the OR for it, and the doc says, all right, gotta roll over on your side. And the door closes, and there's no nurses assisting in here. It's just the doc and the anesthesiologist, two dudes. And that's the first time my warning lights went off a little bit. Like, hold on, we don't have any members of the opposite sex here as chaperones to see what's going on. And then the anesthesiologist starts pushing the propanol into the IV. He said, all right, you're going to feel sleepy now. About 5 seconds, I was like, whoa, whoa. The last thing I remember is the sound of a zipper.
See, this is the stuff you shouldn't be doing in the room with them.
Not in the room. That probably would have been a little bit too much for Dr. Parkash.
You wanted a member of the opposite sex in there? See, I feel like that would make me very uncomfortable.
I mean, just to make sure no hanky-panky goes on.
I mean, Tim Whatley, the dentist, we remember.
I guess. And
we remember what he did.
I wake up and it is, I got to say, I understand why Michael Jackson was chasing the dragon. Mm-hmm. Propanol is lovely.
Yeah, it works. Gets the job done.
I mean, not only did I fall asleep like a light switch, and for me, again, who has one of my superpowers is perfectly controlled narcolepsy, even for me, this was magic. The sleep I had for the 20 minutes I was under or whatever was amazing. It was deep and peaceful, and when I came out of it, I was just like, I feel like I am in, like, they're going to be puppy dogs bouncing on clouds around me, and it's holy mo- this is beautiful. It's beautiful. I wish I could sleep like this every night. I wish I could have some propanol to sort of experiment on my own at home. The only thing is my jaw was a little sore too.
No, stop.
And
stop.
I couldn't understand.
It's just a side effect. That's a side effect of the propanol.
Because they hadn't and had to
the muscles, you know,
to intubate me or anything. What, I just Anyway, I had a little schmutz on my upper lip, schmutz on my face.
Okay.
But it was a beautiful experience. The doctor said that my colon is so clean you could eat off of it.
Gross.
Doesn't need to see me for another decade.
That's
he said, and so Dr. Parkash said to me, when he gave me the, he said, so, don't need to see you for another 10 years unless you want to come in sooner. And then he gave me a little wink.
Hmm.
I'm not quite sure what to make of that.
Question.
Maybe that's just in where his, you know, but Dr. Parkash, who I think of either Indian or Pakistani descent, of course, an American, not saying he's not, but maybe in his ancestral homeland, that is how doctors convey their well wishes for a speedy recovery to patients.
The wink. Mm-hmm.
They say
the
to them
the
with a wink.
Question.
Sunny, go ahead.
When you went to check out, did they offer you the service tax free if you paid in cash?
Would be the most New Jersey thing ever.
I just assume it's like doors or, you know, plumbing or whatever else. It's like, well, you're paying cash. Don't gotta pay the taxes.
I had that happen at another place, a furniture supply store 2 weeks ago, where I was like, all right, time to check out. And the guy was like, you know, if you want to pay in cash or do a wire transfer, we could save you some money.
Or a wire transfer.
What?
Jeez.
What about Bitcoin?
They did not.
Or Ethereum?
They did ask me if I wanted to swap contact info. Though, so I, who could say? But that's probably just so they could keep me in touch in their medical database.
Yeah, that's doctors need that.
Yeah, they need to know how to reach you if
in case
something else comes up on a different.
Yeah,
screen.
He said something like, "Hit me up on my Snap or something."
If the propanol was a bad batch of propanol, you know, they got to let you know.
They want to monitor.
I do have a serious question about the drugs.
I will say one thing before your serious question.
Yeah.
it is entirely possible that I may have to step out for a minute or two during the course of this show. Okay. So, and if so, you guys just have to keep rolling without me, and I'll be back when I can.
Okay.
Because I made the mistake of trying to have a little bit of piece of toast about an hour ago, and
stomach not interested in that.
It's not the stomach.
I mean, it's got to go through there. It's got to pass through that chamber. So the propanol, was it like a standard?
I'm sorry, 1 minute. Hey, Ryan, I don't need a poop knife. Sorry, there's a long time callback.
Yes, that's an old
propanol.
Joke. Propanol. Is it like your standard anesthesia where they count down from they have you start counting down and you get like three numbers into it? And
no.
They just put it in. No. It's like boop.
He puts it in and he's like, all right, you're going to get a little sleepy.
See you later.
And I would say it took about 3 seconds. And I was like, and here's the thing. It didn't feel like getting knocked out.
Right.
It felt, imagine a time-lapse video of your feelings as you fall asleep on a beautiful, wonderful night when falling asleep is easy. Imagine that, but just like that sensation as a time-lapse video.
Hmm.
It felt like falling into just a relaxing, comfortable, hey, I'm just going to let go and drift away here. This is, oh, yeah. That's what it was.
You hear that, kids? Propanol.
Guys, if you don't go doing fentanyl, heroin. Mm-hmm. Those are dangerous drugs. Go get yourself some propanol.
I feel like propanol is harder. I don't feel like you can just go down to the corner at 7-Eleven and talk to Jimmy. And get propanol.
Maybe in New Jersey can if you pay in cash. I don't know. I
mean, and what do people use propanol for? Do they use it just to go to sleep? Like, do you get high off of it or something? Like, if you smaller dose it, does it just sort of...
You're asking
like,
the wrong person.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, good. Well, and so do you actually have to wait, in all seriousness, do you have to wait for any kind of results, JVL? Or
no.
Did you get... You got the...
Look, Dr. Parkesh gave me the clean seal of approval.
Good.
He said, you... He said, "Every in there looked amazing." He said, "It was beautiful," and I didn't feel weird about that at all. I just assumed he meant that my health is great, and that the wink was just his culture's way of saying, "Get well soon."
Okay,
good. All right. Well, that's nice. I'm happy for you.
He was wearing like a pink feather boa.
Okay, Sonny. What's going on with you, Sonny Bunch? Can we mute JVL?
Why do you look like Liberace?
I can actually do that. So here's the.
I told you guys this would be good content.
I want to read the email pitch that I got you guys from. I want to read this to you guys. I got this literally 20 minutes ago in my inbox.
Okay.
Here's the subject line. I swear to God, this is what it says. Story: animated characters help kids prepare for school with personalized massages.
What?
And I swear to God, under my breath, did a Tim Robinson style, what the fuck? when I read that subject, so then I keep reading, hi, Sonny, parents seeking new ways to help their kids overcome back to school fears and generate excitement for the upcoming school year are enlisting popular animated characters to help. And I am once again like, what in the
please tell me it's a typo
this?
And they mean messages.
This,
totally,
what, this,
yes.
What is this yeah. about? Coco Melon, Blippi, and Red Titan are helping.
Blippi will give your kid a personalized massage.
Are helping their biggest little fans.
Call Jim Caviezel.
Mentally prepare to go back to school or begin school for the first time. So now I'm imagining
I'm imagining
characters coming to my home and touching my children in intimate ways because they're nervous about going to school. And I am seriously like, my eyes are getting bigger and bigger as I'm reading this. Parents are hiring these characters through Cameo Kids, which offers personalized videos. And that's when I realized, okay, they meant messages in the subject line here. But I was going full on like, oh my God, the pedo conspiracy is real. QAnon. It exists. We gotta get these fuckers out of here.
You were on the knife's edge, Sonny. You were this close.
I was this close. I was this. This is how they get you.
Where we go one, we go all.
I went back and I reread the message, the subject line, just to make sure I had not misread it and that it was messages, but no, it's definitely massages. Animated characters help kids prepare for school with personalized massages.
You've got to turn this into content somehow. Does this go in?
I can't even, it doesn't even make sense unless you're just reading it there.
Bullet goes to Hollywood, maybe? I don't know.
Cameo. Oh, I should call up Cameo and be like, hey, how do I get one of those massages for my kid?
I'm interested in Sailor Moon.
You offered me a story idea. Animated characters giving my kids massages. Anyway, I just needed to share that with you guys because it was so funny.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that people who aren't journalists in the audience won't understand, which is that we get pitches from PR folks. On a daily basis.
Literally 100 a day. Literally 100.
Easily. And like the fact that it was believable as massages is like a reflection of how insane some of those pitches are.
And those PR people are being paid.
To send these things out. I genuinely did not even think it was a typo until I got to the bit about Cameo. I was like personalized massages from cartoon characters. What is happening in this world?
I have a journalism question for the two of you.
Yeah.
Because this is, as you say, a fact of our lives.
Right.
What I have never understood is who in the world of journalism reads these press releases and says, yes, I shall do a story about this.
No.
Because I assume they only do it because it works. But Maggie Haberman isn't reading your thing. I'm not reading. You're not reading. Like, who is it? The junior editor in Style? Or is it like some blogger? Who is doing this?
I mean, it is the telemarketing of PR, right? It's like it only has to work once. So you might as well blast it out as wide as possible. And somebody with some, you know, patch.com newsletter is going to take it and generate some content with it. I mean, this is
the thing, right? We exist in a universe in which people are under the pressure to write 15 bylined posts a day to drive 17 clicks per post to, you know, whatever website they work for. I can imagine this getting a pickup on, you know, one or two different, like, okay, Coco Melon, that's good SEO. I bet I could get something out of Coco Melon.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's sad. I can't imagine having to live that way. No, the other thing that was going on in my life, Mike, as I explained to you via text message, Mike. I am actually a plumber now. I'm a full-on, actual, literal plumber.
You're a pro.
I'm a pro. I had to replace the drain in my bathtub, and I had to go to the Home Depot. I had to buy tools for this. I had to buy plumber's putty and a new drain. And it took me.
Did you get a drain wrench?
I got a drain wrench. I got the drain wrench.
I was so impressed with is that you texted me after the fact. I thought you, when you first sent me that photo, I thought, oh, he's going to be asking me a question, but
no,
I should have known better. You're all done. You're a big boy.
It was all done. It's the easiest home fix I've ever done. I mean, it took literally like 10 minutes, but it was, it took longer to go to the store and buy the thing and come back to my house than it did to actually do the fix.
Yep.
But it was, you know, I put the drain wrench in there and I stuck a screwdriver through the hole and I turned it and torqued it open and, took it out, put a new one in, put some putty around the little lip, put it in, drain's fine. It's sealed. It's a total perfect seal, I think, ish.
You said you weren't sure. Well,
I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure. Cause I put it in. I put it in and, you know, I let it and I filled up the tub with water and there were some air bubbles. There were a few little air bubbles, but the water level didn't go down at all. I marked the water level. It didn't go down. So I don't know if that was just, you know, the putty settling or whatever. But it seems okay. The other thing that was a little bit weird is that it was to get it to fit into the to where I was screwing in it. So like, I don't know how to describe this exactly, but the drain, you know, the drain is like a just like a metal cylinder, basically, right? Mm-hmm. That you unscrew from the pipe below and then you screw it back in. Except around the metal cylinder, there was a plastic piece to make it fit the pipe. So it was to make it like, you know, to make it like
a sleeve.
Yeah, to make it like 2/8 of an inch wider, I guess.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so I had to screw it in with that plastic piece on. It wouldn't fit when I took the plastic piece off because I assumed that was just to like protect the threads or something. And I put it in. It didn't fit. It was too narrow. And then I put the plastic thing back on and screwed it in, and it fit. But my big concern is that I don't know that the plumber's putty was strictly speaking necessary then.
Probably not. I mean. Look, I'm not an expert in this, but generally plumber's putty is...
You're just doing that on metal, right? You're trying to keep it the metal from like corroding,
correct.
Right?
Correct, and,
like,
getting... correct.
So I think...
Or you can use plumber's tape too.
I think
I was
going to
ask you, Michael, which do you prefer, plumber's putty or the silicone tape?
I actually prefer the tape. I think it's...
Really?
Yeah. I think it's...
I don't even know what that is.
It's easier to work with. It's just like a thin tape you can use to kind of wrap up threading and help seal things. I mean, I find it easier. I find putty to be cumbersome and hard to work with. So
it was a little bit weird, but I mean, I screwed it in and like,
yeah, some I'm sure it's easy. It's fine.
Some of the putty came out the side and I like, you know, I like took it off the, you know, wiped off the excess as you're supposed to, but mm-hmm. the seal seems to be good. I filled it up, you know, I put 4 inches of water in the tub or whatever and marked a little line. It didn't go down after 10 minutes. Right. I was like, okay, well, it seems all right. But you know
what you've done here, Sonny, is you have bought yourself.
Save myself $500.
Yes. But you've also bought yourself, which this is much more valuable than 500 mere American dollars. You've bought yourself the ability now, the confidence to next time you have somebody come do something in your house, you can now say, yeah, you know, I was fixing something in my bathroom. Like the ability to like shoot the shit with a contractor.
Yeah. Like Dr. Rick, you could offer to assist him. Be like, Hey, Jose, you need a little help there.
Well, I could, but here's the thing.
He
doesn't actually have to do that. He just has to talk about it. And before maybe you wouldn't have had the confidence, but now you've sort of got a little notch there.
Michael, in this scenario, is Sonny wearing his blazer with the patches on the elbows or no?
You're going to have to ask him. All I saw was the finished product.
I got a pipe where I'm like, oh, sure, yeah, I see. There's a... I know in that bathroom, I have now fixed, let's see, I fixed the bathtub drain, the sink drain. I fixed that. And I've changed the little flapper mechanism in the toilet. I've basically fixed all of the
things. You basically remodeled it.
I have basically redone that whole bathroom.
You remodeled your own bathroom.
It'll be good for at least 3 months until I got to fix something I fucked up.
The money you saved, you could buy a first printing copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles #1.
Probably just about. I don't know. Those are pretty expensive. Those are rare. That was a low print run. That was an indie.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Sure we will. Well, this is good. I mean, we really should change the dudes chatting portion of this just to like, it's basically this old house at this point. So I think that's what we have to talk about. So the only thing I have to say.
Talk into your mic.
What?
Talk into your mic, Mike Warren. You're like talking off to the side. I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. This is you. Oh, I'm over here. Hi.
Got to eat the mic.
Just got to talk into your mic.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was just trying to bring back some of that Vic Mattis energy. So the only thing I have to say before we jump into this movie discussion is I was at a family wedding over the weekend by myself. No wife, no kids. Other members of my
band
family.
Off. Did you slip the wedding band off?
I mean, no.
Wedding Crasher style?
No. I was able to get the wedding band on and off because my swelling in my hand has gone down considerably. But no, it was an interesting experience because we had taken the baby to the previous family wedding, also in Philadelphia, earlier this summer. And it was kind of a, it wasn't a disaster. It was like a slow moving disaster. It was basically when the baby stopped sleeping through loud sounds, like a day before we went, you know, it was fine. It was just, it caused us more anxiety than it did for the baby. Like, he was just kind of like, why am I in this loud room and why am I not in a bed? And we were like running around. So anyway, so after that wedding, and, you know, we had this other wedding coming up, my other cousin, the bride's brother got married this past weekend. My wife said, just go up by yourself. It'll just be for one night. Just go up by yourself.
What an amazing woman your wife is. Yeah. Was that your birthday or something? That's that is a high level gift.
It was, although the night before I left, so the wedding was on Saturday, on Friday night, she goes, after this has long been resolved, she goes, is it too late for me to come along with you? Just, we were just having a fun time with it. Summer could not end soon enough. Anyway, so I went to this wedding. I drove up by myself, but you know, like my brother lives up in Philly. We were out kind of in rural, like exurbs of Philadelphia, for this wedding. Bunch of my family, my parents were there, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins, blah, blah, blah. So it was fine. It was fun. We had an interesting experience on the bus ride from the venue back to either the hotel or the, so it was like we were going from the venue to first the place of the after party, the bar for the after party. And then anybody who wasn't going there to the hotel. So I'm thinking, I'll go hang out with my brother at the after party. It'll be fun. And then I'll go back to the hotel. It's not like I got kids who are going to wake me up the next morning.
Give me some geography here. Where in the Philly area are you?
So do you know, Coatesville?
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. It's Coatesville.
Okay. And all the things are in Coatesville. So you're not like,
so my cousin lives there.
Reading or, okay.
Correct. My cousin lives in Coatesville, Exton, kind of that area. In a log cabin. And so this was all like kind of out there. Yes. In an actual log cabin, for real. And so we're riding on the bus, and this is a bus that has, you know, so my brother and his wife are riding on it with me. My parents are on this. My late octogenarian grandparents are on this bus, and a whole bunch of aunts and uncles and cousins. And then like a whole bunch of, I'm just going to say it, like my cousins, like Philly trash friends. And one of them has the Bluetooth access. And so for this party bus, so he is blasting like
Nickelback.
If only it were Nickelback. That would have been great if it were Nickelback. Butt rock, as they call it, Nickelback. No, it like hardcore, you know, popular, but like dirty hip hop, essentially. And it's loud and it's, everybody is like screaming at the top of their lungs about, you know, motherfuckers and sucking this and fucking that. Anyway, so it's like the whole thing is like hilarious and awful to me. And at one point, like, so I'm standing. So like half of us are standing, just holding on. And the trip from the hotel to the venue to start the wedding may have taken 15 minutes. But for some reason, this drive back to the hotel took like an hour. We're like doing turns. We can't see outside. And it's just packed full with drunk assholes. And at a certain point, I feel a poke on my leg, on my upper thigh. And I turn around and it's this drunk guy, and he is trying to push his way to hit his friend across the aisle, and I am standing in the way, and he's like poking me. And at one point I'm standing there and I see his arm go through my legs to poke this guy, and I'm finally like, and my brother and I like turn around like what the fuck are you doing, man? And he's like, I'm so sorry, I'm being such a drunk asshole. Can I please put my arm through your leg so I can poke my friend? I'm like, get me out of here. Like, this is the absolute worst.
He asked for consent. What's wrong with that? He's a very modern, a modern drunk Philly asshole.
This is the origin story of Dr. Prakash or whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever that guy's name was.
So we ended up not
Five
going-
years later, he was a gastroenterologist.
Exactly. So we get off, and then the next day-
Did you?
Yeah, we did. Wow. We get off at the hotel. The next day, my dad-
Well, at least you waited to the hotel.
Exactly. All right. And the next day, my dad is like, is scandalized by how many young women were screaming obscenities during these songs. You know, they're just like standard hip hop. So it was an education for everybody.
Were they dropping, bombs?
Oh, totally.
Which bombs?
Let me just ask a question. Was this bus full of white people singing Gold Digger by any chance?
No, it was not. It was not those kind of bombs. It was not those kind of bombs. Okay. Don't. Yeah.
Dead.
It was not those kind of bombs. I didn't pick up what you were putting down. Okay. No. Just descriptions of dirty sex, you know.
Okay, that's terrible.
That's fine.
Here's the thing.
I realized, I was like, oh, like this is normal for somebody like my age to like hear this stuff and hear drunk. But like they're really like the generational divide really revealed itself because boomer parents like can't imagine like being around this kind of music. So it was an education for all. But it was great, you know, like it was great to not have kids.
That was amazing
for a whole weekend.
If only you'd had some propanol with you to help
exactly.
you sleep.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, that's all we're going to do with that. Let's talk about movies. Should we talk real quick about the box office? Barbie still on top, right, Sonny?
Yeah. This was the first weekend in, I think, 10 years that had four movies above $25 million.
Yeah.
Which is a wild, wild fact.
So, so let's go through it real quick. Number one, Barbie. Number two, Meg 2, The Trench.
I assume this is
a horror movie of some kind.
Well, it's the sequel to
the
Meg.
Jason Statham, like, B-movie action.
Yeah, so Jason shark. Statham in right. The Meg fought a giant
oh, the
shark.
Meg. Oh, the Megalodon. Got it.
Yes.
And not then, Meg-N, the robot. This,
not
right.
Meg-N,
sexy
the robot.
Kid robot.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Sexy kid.
Well, I don't remember what it was. I never saw
Maybe
it.
Maybe you could get her to come and give you a massage.
Jesus.
Number three, Oppenheimer. So Oppenheimer.
Number
Trump's,
three, Oppenheimer.
And then number four.
Number four, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, it's interesting. Like,
wait,
you know,
what did
again.
The Meg
like,
open to?
The Meg opened to... Oh, I don't know. I don't know what the original opened to. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. The new one. What did the sequel this week?
$30 million.
That's wild to me.
That movie.
Because that is a Netflix movie.
I mean, that movie is a China play is what it is. It's co-production with China. It stars a bunch of Chinese actors. It takes place in Chinese territorial waters, more or less. So I would assume there's a 9-dash line somewhere in that movie. That movie was designed to make money in China. We'll see how it does over there. That's more important for it. It did fine in the United States. I think it overperformed. Basically everything this weekend overperformed. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles opened on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or something, and it did $43 million over the first 5 days, which is a very good number for them. Shockingly cheap for a big studio animation movie. This movie cost, I think, $75 million. So it's
Paramount,
it's,
Nickelodeon.
It
I'm
is
not sure
it
how
is,
big that studio is.
Paramount's a big studio. Paramount's one of the big studios.
Yeah, but got that big mountain.
But it's a cheap movie. But I mean, look, the big thing here is Oppenheimer continues to do really well. It dropped just 37%. In its second weekend, it's going to make a run at, or a third weekend, I'm sorry. It's going to make a run at probably 300 to 350 million in that range if it keeps holding like this. It's going to end up being, like, this is a very wild statistic, but it is going to end up being, in all likelihood, Christopher Nolan's highest grossing non-Batman movie. And specifically non-Dark Knight movie. The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises both were...
I will say this. I mean, here's one thing that this has going for it that Interstellar, Tenet, and
Dunkirk?
No, not Dunkirk. Well, Dunkirk a little bit, and then
Inception.
Inception did not have going for it, which is that it is easy to understand and follow. Like, Nolan is not the way he was in the other movies, asking the audience to, like, run and catch up with his uncompromising vision about how to play with time and understand what's going on.
Right? I don't know. But right?
He's just telling a story. It's like David Lynch doing the straight story after all of his crazy David Lynch shit.
Well, I think the big difference between this and those movies is that he is playing with time and timelines and weaving them together in a way, but he's doing so in an incredibly clear way by making one section in black and white and one section in color. Mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly think that is the big
thing. Also, you can understand what everybody's saying.
The
dialogue is very clear.
I've seen people complain about that, which I was shocked by. I did not have any issues with the dialogue in this movie, which I think it's fair to acknowledge that has been occasionally a problem in Christopher Nolan movies.
Don't you also think that, I mean, the sort of elevator pitch for Oppenheimer, it's like everybody knows what the atomic bomb is. It's got this sort of historic biopic, and then you throw in Christopher Nolan, who people know. I mean, it's like...
Movie.
Exactly.
Nuclear bombs, the brand movie.
Nuclear bombs by the guy who did Inception and the Dark Knight movies. Yeah, that's all you need to know, and like, it seems like that
and
should
just
work.
It is more accessible than Interstellar or Tenet.
Mm-hmm.
Just just as a piece of storytelling, I still defy audiences to tell me what happened in either Interstellar or Tenet in a way that like everybody can walk into Oppenheimer and walk out understanding what they just saw.
This is the one for them.
For the simpletons.
Right.
The slower crowd.
Can I ask real quick just to, because at number five is Haunted Mansion. And I had asked about this earlier, about this, why they released this movie now. It kind of didn't make sense to me. And it's already like, it's a disaster, right? For Disney, this movie, is that
true? Is it terrible, Sonny? Is this why they released it now? Just because it's so bad that they...
No, I haven't even seen it, so I don't know. I mean, okay. I wanted to take my kids to go see it. Neither of them had any interest, so...
Always a bad sign.
Yeah, there you go.
So I haven't gone. So I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look very good, and by all accounts, it's not particularly well done. So, I mean, the problem with this movie is that it costs $150 million to make. You make this movie for $70 million, and if it grosses $200 million worldwide, you're fine.
Right.
You make this movie for $150 million, and it's got to make $500 million worldwide, you know, and like, whatever. Like, there's an argument Disney doesn't actually care that much about box office revenues, but box office is still the easiest way to make up a big chunk of money on any one individual thing. So, I don't know. It's the sort of thing that 2 years ago probably would have just got dumped straight to Disney Plus. I'll put it that way.
Right.
And Bob Iger is smartly trying to get away from that because doing this kind of damages your whole overall brand. It's better even to put a bad movie in theaters and lose money on it than to put all of your movies on Disney Plus, because then nobody shows up for any of them, even when they're good.
That's right.
So like I kind of understand everything that they're doing here. One more Disney tidbit. I saw this morning kind of buried in the Disney earnings call. But so, you know, they took a big write off on the Galactic Star Cruiser resort, which they shut down.
Correct. 25 million, right? Or something.
Oh, more than that. It breaks down to, they took a write off of $2.5 million per room.
Oh.
In the Galactic Star Cruiser, spectacular, whatever you want to call that place. Was disastrous.
My sister was in Atlantic City for the Miss America pageant the weekend before some Trump hotel closed down. I forget which one this was, maybe the Taj Mahal or something. And she stayed there because she was able to get at what was supposedly a 5-star hotel, like a room for $30. And she said that it was like being in a dead mall where there was, I mean, it was a hotel. She had a key card, but it was like tumbleweeds everywhere. There was nobody working there. nothing worked and there was nobody to call to get, like, it just...
It's like a post-apocalyptic
Even though
movie.
It was supposed to not shut down for another week, it was essentially shut down.
Yeah.
And I wonder what Star Cruiser was like the week before they pulled the plug. Like, was everybody there still, like, you know, in full character, doing it all, like, you know, we saved up our money to spend $4,000 to stay in a hotel for 3 nights? Or had it gotten, was it all of a sudden quite a lot like, no, not sad, was it a lot like the Star Wars universe? Ah. Like, it, you know, things are broken and scruffy and people are like, you know.
I have to think that it probably wasn't that way, right? Like probably up to the end.
Did they maintain the Disney standard?
They must have, right?
I would imagine they must have.
It feels like what a Disney property would do.
Yeah, Disney's pretty maniacal about that sort of thing. But maybe, I don't know. I would never go. I mean, look, it's the sort of place that I would go if it was $500 a night.
I wanted to go so bad. Oh, I wanted to take Father Harrison and my brother-in-law. We were going to go. We were going to do it up. We were targeting 2025 for this. This will always be a missed opportunity and a regret for me. And I'm grateful to our listener, Justin, who gave me like the 5,000 word description, include like travelogue, including pictures of his stay at the Star Cruiser. Justin, thank you.
Did he like it?
Loved it. Oh. It'd be the greatest thing ever.
All right. Well, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about Haunted Mansion. We're talking about the other reboot of a franchise movie for kids. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. Sonny, give us a big boy review.
Excuse me. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. It's an animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. And that's really all you got to know. I'm not entirely sure how to properly review this, because I feel like if you are familiar with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ethos, you're not going to be too confused by anything that happens here. Very, very short plot synopsis. Some ooze falls into the sewer. Ooze. Turtles step in it. A rat is with them. The rat raises the turtles as into teenagers, teaches them ninja to keep them from being killed by the surface world. And then they come into conflict with other mutants. So here's one thing I actually find pretty interesting about this movie. I find several things pretty interesting about this movie. Number one, the turtles are actually all voiced by teenagers, and they talk like teenagers, which is not how it has ever been, really, in the teenage.
Never.
They used to be very much like young adults. Like, we're 20-somethings. We're ready to, you know, be out in the world. Like, I remember the original, in the first movie, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, you know, like, Raphael's walking around New York City in his trench coat with his, like, fedora. Yes. In a way that, like, no teenager ever would dress ever. Like, it's not. So this movie is interesting because it feels kind of like, and this makes sense since the guys who wrote Superbad also wrote this, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. It feels a little bit like a high school comedy. It feels like a little bit like a super bad type, not raunchy in that sort of way, but, you know, it feels very much like teenagers doing teenager things, though weirdly with a soundtrack that is very much in tune with people who were in middle school when I was in middle school.
Quest.
You got some Tribe Called Quest.
East Coast
you got
hip
some,
hop, yeah.
You got a lot of like songs that were pop, you know, No Diggity. Like, that is a song that was played in many a school dance when I was in school. So there's that angle to it, which is kind of interesting and anachronistic, but also, you know, kind of fun. The other thing that is interesting about this movie, so in all of the previous iterations of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the turtles were set up as good mutants, and then you had bad mutants, right? You had the turtles on the one hand, and then like Bebop and Rocksteady on the other, or like the fly scientist guy or whatever.
Baxter Stockman.
Or Krang, right?
Krang, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you had that kind of set up that way. And in this movie, it starts off kind of like that, where you have the Ninja Turtles versus Superfly, who's voiced by Ice Cube. It's very funny. and his team of mutants. But then toward the end, all of the mutants get together like, no, we just want to be friends and cool with humans. We just want to fit in with everyone, which is unusual. That's like that's a very unusual way for this story to go. My point here is that it's a typical Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and also not a typical Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles story in very interesting ways. The third big departure for me, and this is really the worst thing about it, even though I really like the actress who voices April O'Neil in this show, she is not dressed up like a
black stormtrooper.
How dare they
have a black stormtrooper?
No, she's just not dressed up like a porn star version of a television reporter. I want the yellow jumpsuit.
Megan Fox.
That's all I'm looking for my, the entertainment for my, 4 and 8 year old, porn star TV reporter.
Something for dad to look at.
You know, I don't think that's too much to ask for. I don't think that's too much to ask for, but overall though, I like it a lot. We may discuss this a little more in the bonus episode, but I also really like the animation style that they're using here, which is very different from previous iterations. It's very different from, you know, your standard Pixar or DreamWorks animation styles. It's kind of it is all done with computers, obviously, but it has this kind of hand drawn feel to it, this kind of rough hewn, almost sketched out quality in certain places. It looks like something you might see on a comic book page. It calls to mind a little bit
Puss in Boots.
It calls to mind that a little bit. It also calls to mind Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Again, like it just has this. It has a very tactile feel to it that is. I think representative of a real sea change. I think we are living through a real change in how animated movies look. The same kind of thing that we went through when Toy Story came out and was huge.
I mean, you can literally see brushstrokes in the animation, right? I mean, it is stylized so that you can, when you are looking at it, you see, oh, that is a brushstroke used to, make that the light dance off of that forehead or something.
Yeah. So I don't know. I like this a lot. I thought it was very funny. There were two or three moments where I laughed out loud. There's a recurring joke about the turtles being milked that culminates in this very literalized. So like Splinter, you know, who's voiced by Jackie Chan in this movie, keeps telling the turtles they can't go to the surface because if you go to the surface, the humans are going to catch you and they're going to milk you for your mutant blood so they can make more mutants. And the turtles are all like, we don't even have nipples. You can't milk us. That's crazy. And when they get captured, of course, they get hooked up to a machine that literally milks them into a giant milk bottle. And when I saw the milk bottle, I like burst into laughter at the screen. I thought this was the funniest thing. I don't know why. I don't know why it like tickled my funny bone in such a way, but it did. It's funnier than anything in Barbie. That's for sure. So I like this movie. I like this movie. Pro thumbs up. Ninja Turtles animation. Kids liked it. They cracked up and were entertained. I don't know. It works.
JVL, your thoughts?
Yeah, So the thing that is the most notable about it is this is the first incarnation in which they lean into the teenage part of the Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I had the same thought you guys did on this, by the way. It's the most distinctive thing.
Right, because the truth is, in every other version of it, the turtles might as well be 25-year-olds, right? They're bro-y, they eat pizza, and they play video games, but that's just the extent of, like, you know, Raphael might as well be 28, right? And here, Donatello's basically a tween, right? I mean, they play it as if these kids are 15, but they actually act a little closer, like 13, 14, which is, I like that choice a lot. I really like the choice to make April O'Neil a high school student so that everything is set within high school. There are two things. So I liked it fine. It was never better than it needed to be. And this is what I think about. So many of my favorite movies are movies that they have like good enough to get the job done. Old School is like this. Old School is, you know, it hits all the beats it needs to. Office Space hits all the beats it needs to. Into the Spider-Verse hits all the beats it needs to. But all three of those movies then go and are just way better than they have any need to be or even right. any right to be. And I felt like this, like, as you say, Sonny, like, they're, it's funny enough to get the laughs from us, but it's never transcendent. It never becomes more than it is or better than it is. And I think ultimately the script is kind of weak.
Yep.
And the one that this is, I don't know how to express this. So I very much like the idea of the animation style. I like this painterly version of it. That said, and this is a style, and you see it in both animation and in comics all the time. The brutalist, intentionally ugly uglification of everything in it, because this is an ugly world, not a nice looking world. I found, like, nauseating vaguely. Like the character design on every human. The humans are way more disgusting to look at than the mutants. Yep. Now, I'm sure grotesque. That this is, again, something that is intentional, yep. But I don't like it because there are too many humans in it for you to have to, like, if you only saw, like, two humans once, that's fine, but you're looking at humans all throughout the movie, and they're hideous. Absolutely hideous. And I, at some point, I was just like, I need you guys to clean this shit up. I am sorry. Like, this is, we've gone, leaned too far out into, because, you know, like Rugrats, right? Rugrats animation style is everybody's intentionally ugly, right? This is, it's a choice. But they dialed that shit to 11, and I found it unappetizing.
Mm. Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah, no, I tend to, I'm probably somewhere in between you two on this. Not that you guys are that far apart. It does feel like when we left the theater, the thought I had was, I feel like Seth Rogen kind of left some on the field
yes.
a bit. And like, this could have been more Seth Rogen-y or just more. Well, it just could have been more.
Let me throw this out there.
Sure.
I would suggest that a lot of Seth Rogen's humor, that whole genre of humor really relies a lot on curse words that they yes. cannot use in this movie. JBL and I, we liked, Good Boys, right? And a lot of the humor in Good Boys is based on yeah. situations that children shouldn't be in, kids saying things kids shouldn't say. And like, you can't have that in this movie because it's a PG movie. You just, it's right. like, this is, it's, that's yeah, not, that's not kids. How it works.
Right. It is for my almost 9-year-old son who loved it, by the way. But
Spider-Verse finds its way to like tons of very, very funny. Yeah. I just feel like this script needed like 5 to 8 more drafts. Like, I mean, just make it punch it up. This could right. be better, right? The bones are here. The concept is there. It just wasn't as good as it could have been.
Yeah. I mean, it was, it felt like, I mean, it's the same thing. It was serviceable. Again, my kids loved yeah. it.
Gets the job done.
So what more does it need to do? Does it need to really impress me? And so it worked, and they loved all the jokes. They loved the milking stuff. They thought that was hilarious. They loved the Paul Rudd character, which was
Mondo Gecko.
Yeah, Mondo Gecko. But just the characterization of him is like, hey, bro, like all of that stuff was like hit right where they were. And
well, once again, that's a character that could fit perfectly into a Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah, Judd Apatow universe. Yeah, like, totally. Yes, I mean, he's basically playing a version of from Forgetting Sarah Marshall of his yeah. Surf instructor. I loved the, so I took the music cues to be a sop to the parents, right? In the theaters.
100%.
And yeah. one of my favorite things, which I lost it at this, but my kids had no idea, didn't understand why, which was the use of the version of the Four Non-Blondes What's Up
yeah.
that from the He-Man meme video, which is like, if you don't even understand what I'm talking about, like you'll like, I can't explain it. It just sounds deranged, but
is that
like,
from a meme?
Oh, this is a whole, this was an internet video from what, Sonny, 15 years ago?
That Rednecks Cotton Eye Joe version of Four Non-Blondes?
Yeah. And it's got Skeletor singing.
I didn't know that was a meme.
So you guys didn't even get it.
I laughed, not appreciating that.
Somebody did a version of that 15 years ago, early YouTube or even like pre YouTube. And it just went around. It was, you know, they do the whole thing and they put it in the movie during one of the chase scenes. And I just thought it was like, it felt like a moment where I was like, oh, this is very much internet culture. Just being now the culture. And an acknowledgement of that. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed those kind of little, nods to it. Here's the thing that I really enjoyed. You don't have one, JVL, but, Sonny, did you go to the Alamo to watch this?
Yeah.
Did you do the pre-roll, watch the pre-roll? Yeah, because it was all of the
commercials
for the toys.
Oh man, I would watch the heck out of that. Do they put that on YouTube? Does Alamo put their pre-roll on YouTube?
I don't think so. But my 5-year-old was like, "When's the movie gonna start?" I'm like, "Hold on, we got 50 more minutes of this. This is hilarious. I had that toy, you know." So I really enjoyed watching those.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fruit snacks.
It was almost exclusively the toys.
Almost all the toys. It was wild too, because there were ridiculous iterations of the characters. One was like movie star Ninja Turtles.
It was kind of like Barbie.
Smile real big.
Yeah, it was kind of like Barbie, but with Ninja Turtles. And I think it, you know, and like, so the one thing, like at my parents' house, like somehow a couple of these Ninja Turtle toys have survived. And one of them is the one that has, I think it's Donatello, has a pizza box like on his chest. And it came with these little plastic disc pizzas that would shoot out of it. That commercial, I think I was like, you know, my kids were like, oh yeah, that's at Grandma and Pop's house. I love that. And it just reminded me of just how saturated my young childhood was with Ninja Turtle stuff. Like it was just, everything was turtles. Everything was Ninja Turtles. And like, it's hard to explain. Maybe it's kind of like Paw Patrol was a few years ago or something, but it was everywhere.
This is one of the most random pieces of IP, I think, maybe in late 20th century America. We could talk about this in the...
Well, no, let's talk about it. Why don't we talk about it now? Because
it's so long. We're like an hour in.
We're running long. Let's talk about it in the bonus. We'll save that for the bonus episode.
Okay. All right. Well, any other thoughts on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem? It's clearly setting up for a sequel. I won't spoil the...
With Shredder.
Okay. Well, let's spoil it. Yeah, with Shredder. So...
I just hope Casey Jones shows up.
That's what I said, too. My guy. I love Casey Jones. With the hockey mask. Yeah, loved it. I should say this. Love, I agree with you. I love the actress, Ayo Edebiri. Is that how you say her name?
Yep.
Who plays April. She's great on The Bear. Love that show. Love her. She's really funny.
I really want to see Theater Camp, which she is in the movie so theater. Good.
You guys can do that.
Can we do that next
Mike,
year?
Mike doesn't want to watch that movie, but it looks so funny. I want you to watch it so you can talk about wanting to shove all those kids into lockers.
I wasn't a bully. I was the one getting shoved in lockers.
Okay.
If they're in the hierarchy, I would have been above those kids. Just one notch above. Okay. Well, that's all the time we're going to give to this movie and to this episode. Remember, you can go to subbeacon.com, sign up, become a patron. We'll see you there and we'll see you next time.
I didn't want to step on your bus story, but my all-time favorite group bus story involves I think I've told this story on the show before, but just to reiterate, in college at UVA, there's this event called Foxfields, which is a big horse race. Everybody gets dressed up to go to the horse race because that's what we do in the South. In Charlottesville, we wear our finest. There were buses. You would take the bus to go to the horse track.
Right.
And on one of these occasions, we got stuck in like a 17-mile long traffic jam. We were literally on this bus for like 2.5 hours going there, not even coming back. To the extent where eventually somebody decided that they had to go to the bathroom, could not hold it anymore. So they went in a bottle, mm-hmm. as one does, and then they put the cap on the bottle, tighten the cap, and then they set the bottle down, you know, and when we hit the brakes once, the bottle went rolling up the aisle of the bus, mm-hmm. just in front of just bottle of pee rolling up the aisle on the bus. That's my experience.
At least it wasn't a Dumb and Dumber situation.
I don't know that it was that far off, really. I think there may have been some splash.
I'm sure it would have been fine.